in this match.
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion. Hot off the heels of a exciting wrestling weekend.
You know what? It did feel different, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a different kind of energy.
But, it was the biggest social distance of the summer. Another show we were supposed to be at that got canceled. And we were bringing some non-wrestling fans, so that would have been fun.
Yeah.
We were supposed to go to Boston, drink some lager, maybe catch a Sox game. I don't know. I'm just saying shit. How are you?
I'm alive.
Yeah, not that I didn't see you yesterday. But,
and the day before that.
And the day before that. But it is August 25th, so we are here to talk about SummerSlam and a wacky wrestling schedule week, Anna. AEW is on Saturday, going head-to-head with TakeOver.
AEW is on like a different day for like the next 3 weeks. It's on Thursday this week.
Although, I did take great joy in the Celtics and Sixers knocking it off.
You didn't take great joy in anything about that series.
No, I didn't.
And what did I tell you when you were talking shit last week? You'd already be down 1-0 by the time this episode comes out. And you were.
And we were.
And then you're down 2-0. And then I got a free meal. And then you're down 3-0.
Yeah, let me talk about this. You didn't take advantage of my free meal.
What do you mean?
You got a chicken Caesar salad.
Chicken Caesar salads kick ass.
Yeah, but I got a lobster roll. I got fucking lobster.
Your lobster roll is $3 more expensive than my salad.
Whatever.
Don't act like... I could have got the fucking... Whatever that lobster shit I was looking at, that was $27.
Wouldn't make a dent, pal.
Yeah.
I, you know what? You should order two of them. As I say that with my piece of shit car still living at home. But I believe that...
We will win.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That brings back some fucking PTSD shit. Aleister Black looks absolutely mangled right now. Look at him. He's falling over. His eye's attacking him. He doesn't want to be seen. Oh!
Whoa.
Judas Effect.
It's the only finishing move that's exclusive. Oh!
Oh, my God. So we have heel Aleister Black, apparently. Poor KO. Okay, but we will talk about a big departure in the WWE. The Thunderdome. AEW allowing fans, and we'll get into, of course, the war report, and we'll talk about the entire weekend from WWE. We will see you after you hear from our friends at Anchor.
So, got a little bit of news today. Not a whole lot, but
you know,
light, like a nice Ken's Steakhouse Caesar dressing.
We're not even going here again. We're not going here again. If you're not remember using McCormick, fuck off.
Remember when you said Ken's suck, and you were telling me what your favorite dressing of all time was, then you opened the refrigerator door, and it was made by Ken's?
He was a rough one for me that day.
That was. What was worse than that? What was worse, that or vehemently?
I still think it's vehemently, so.
Corey Graves said the word last night.
Corey Graves also from Pittsburgh. People from Pittsburgh are stupid.
You know what? I can agree with that.
Things happen in Pittsburgh, Tony.
Yeah.
But let's talk about...
You don't go to Pittsburgh without leaving a piece of yourself there.
Oh. Renee Young. It appears she put in her notice and...
It doesn't appear. She's gonzo.
The last...
She changed her name on Twitter back to Renee Paquette.
Piquet.
I'm ready to fight you.
You know where she's from?
I don't like... She's
you know,
from...
You know where she's from?
I don't think she's... Is she from Montreal?
Montreal.
I know she's from somewhere in French.
I know Paquette's pretty fucking French.
Oh, I know she's French-Canadian. That doesn't mean she's from Montreal. She could be from Quebec City. She could be from... I'm sure there's fucking other...
Quebec. It is Quebec. All right, could talk for a minute so I find out where she's from.
She put in a notice.
How's it Toronto?
Toronto is the most non-French place on earth.
I know. Toronto sucks. Kawhi sucks.
Toronto's awesome. Toronto's one of my favorite cities I was ever in.
Yeah, it's cool. Cool for you. But she admitted on the pre-show last night that what is her last show. She gave...
Admitted, what is it, a fucking murder confession?
It is indeed. She murdered her career. But I'm actually just kidding. I think she's uber, uber talented, and she could go work for NBC.
Uber.
What?
Uber.
Uber.
I'm just being a dick like you.
Well, that's what I do. But
Uber.
I think she's uber, uber talented.
Don't actually, I was thinking, don't say it like that.
That sounds like Stuber, which was a decent movie. What's Big Dave?
Still never saw it. I know Big Dave. Anything.
Big Dave is fucking hysterical in it.
Big Dave is fucking hysterical in but, at life.
I think this is a bigger loss than anybody can imagine. Like, she was, when she was doing the backstage interview, she was the best in a very long time since Dizzy did it. Like, maybe the best since Mean Gene. And she had her time on Talking Smack, which was the best part of weekly wrestling shows for a while.
And then she brought it back with Smacking Talk on Tout.
Yeah, she did. She absolutely did, and it's Toot. But,
It's not Toot.
But,
Maybe in Montreal it's Toot.
Where do you think she goes from here?
Wherever the fuck she wants. I think she's gonna...
Do you think she stays in the business and goes work with her hubby?
No, I think Fox Sports caught a glimpse of her doing the backstage deal.
That could be very possible. Is she the next the next Akira Tozawa? Is she the next Michelle
Young, Beadle? Is Renee Young the next Akira Tozawa? Elaborate.
Is she the next Michelle Beadle?
I think...
She could be.
I mean, I don't know if you read her farewell Instagram post, but she talked about launching backstage, and then she put in parentheses, which you could still catch me on. So that makes me think she's still under her Fox Sports contract, and she's going to be going full-time with them. Maybe NFL coverage, maybe XFL coverage. Maybe,
oh, my God. Her maybe, with Boomer and not Boomer for ESPN. Her with TJ works for ESPN. Sorry. Her with, who's the Fox crew?
Jimmy Johnson, Mikey Howie Strahan.
Long, and Howie Long, right?
Yeah.
That'll be fun. She can be a nice little host for them.
Yeah. And, like, FS1 has 1,000 fucking knockoff First Take shows that need moderators.
Yeah. She'd be the moderator of Skip and Shannon. Renee and Uncle Shannon.
That'd be awesome.
I love Uncle Shannon.
I don't mean to disparage the wrestling business when I say this, but no, Renee, she's bigger Renee than Young it. Is better than the wrestling business.
But like, she still might be the liaison between the wrestling business and Fox.
Yeah, that's possible.
Especially if they want to run their own studio show.
But she put up a nice little paragraph on the Players Tribune, which I did not expect, but I read it. It was really cool. She talked about her friendship with Corey Graves. She said, "Mike, no matter where she works, Michael Cole will always be the best boss she ever had." She put over Stephanie gigantically. It was just like a really nice, felt genuine, heartfelt letter. And yeah, someone was cutting onions and you're reading it. But it was cool.
It was beautiful. I read it this morning.
And whatever she does, she'll be successful. I mean, is it possible that she goes to AEW to be with her husband? Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't consider that?
I think that's pigeonholing herself too much. That's not me saying anything against AEW. I think she worked for Sky Sports before.
I would love her to Sky Sports is in England. She worked for fucking...
Didn't she work for Sky Sports Toronto? Sky Sports Canada?
No, it's not Sky Sports. It's Sportsnet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sky Sports is in England. It's a UK thing.
Yeah, okay. We got interviewed by them about our shirts.
We actually did.
Yeah.
And I think both of us made up some bullshit.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're very much put in the spot and this is by this interview.
Well, I got robbed the day before.
You did get robbed. I think it was the day before. Yeah, because we bought the shirts the day before. That's right. But, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see her working for TNT.
Yeah.
But on the NBA.
Yeah, her,
on TNT.
Her, Shaq, Chuck, and Ernie.
But I mean, Ernie kind of has that role nailed down. Don't think that's going anywhere. But I mean, it depends on what she wants to do. If she wants to be a sideline reporter, I think she could pull that off.
She could do whatever she wants.
Yeah, she's
The world is her oyster.
She's one of the most talented. Sorry, I just saw something on Raw that baffled me.
Oh, he's gonna win it again. But yeah,
Shelton already has it.
The world is her.
Hold on. Every time we record during Raw, Akira Tozawa wins the goddamn 24/7 championship.
Oh my God, Shelton's murdered. Shelton's murdering the ninjas. He makes Suzuki look like. Oh, this is bad radio, Tony.
I mean, he was in Suzuki Gun.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
He was.
But no, the world is Renee's oyster, and we wish her nothing but the best here.
And thanks the oyster for the is the world's Renee.
I think more of a clam. But that's about it.
You see, wow. How dare you talk about a woman's parts like that? That's highly inappropriate.
It is. My fault.
We're a PG show.
My fault, Renee PK. Yeah, we're a PG show. never mind. But up next, first week of the Thunderdome. We recorded this the last time, and we thought we were ahead of the curve because they announced we're moving to the Amway Center. And the next morning, we found out about the Thunderdome. So what's your opinion of the Thunderdome so far?
I think you nailed the nail on the head. Visually, it looks a cajillion times better than the PC. What's better, the virtual fans or the fake PC fans? That one's actually tough. I'm not sure which is... It's more which is worse, not which is better, because neither of them are any good. It's just...
Yeah, this is better than...
Visually, 1,000 times yes, because you could have pyro. I think, like, the images of just all these fucking floating heads.
It's brighter.
Yeah. And it's a big building. Like, it doesn't look like you're in a fucking warehouse, because they were in a fucking warehouse. And, like, it makes them feel like WWE. Like, when you think WWE, you think 40 billion camera cuts and great production. And it was tough to do that at the PC, because...
The Nia Jax.
Because, well... You know, because you couldn't have pyro. You couldn't, I mean, you could do even more camera cuts at the PC because they were taped shows, but
no, it's
like they're going back live again for every show. So that feels kind of unnecessary.
We finally got a pay-per-view without a goddamn cinematic match.
Yes, that's probably, you know what? Just for that, the Thunderdome gets an A++ for me.
Drew McIntyre loves the Thunderdome.
Drew McIntyre does love the Thunderdome. I want to love something as much as Drew McIntyre loves the Thunderdome.
I want someone to love me as much as Drew McIntyre loves the Thunderdome.
Well, keep waiting.
I love several things. The Eagles.
Sauerkraut.
So I do enjoy sauerkraut. Pizza. Anchovies on pizza. Snapple.
Neil Young.
Yeah. I do like Neil Young. Don't love him.
I'm just pulling random shit out of my ass.
Oh, we can go for a while then. But,
Colonoscopies.
Oh, God, no. I've had one.
Pulling random shit out of your ass.
Ooh, oh, shut up. We're done. Get the fuck out of my house. But I think that if people keep saying Thunderdome, it's going to get old quick.
It's
getting there already.
I don't understand why. Who?
You know who.
Did he just watch Mad Max?
Yeah, I do.
Like, did he just... Is Lord Humongous making a return next week?
What about the Road Warriors? Mystic Man is low-key a Mad Max nerd.
You know what? Because he changed the Road Warriors to the Legion of Doom.
Oh, yes. Because they ran into copyright trouble with Mad Max.
Yeah.
As soon as they come to the place with money, that's when they get involved.
But isn't the Legion of Doom, like, isn't that like a superhero gimmick?
No, that's the Dungeon of Doom.
No. No, it's not. The Legion of Doom is like a superhero gimmick, dude.
I don't know.
I'm going to Google Legion of Doom, and I guarantee the first thing that comes up is not Hawk and Animal.
I'll bet you $10 Hawk and Animal come up first.
Okay.
But... The Thunderdome is going to be great. Some idiots are going to...
Now you're going to watch me press go, right?
Yep. So I'm not... Some people are going to get...
You owe me $10 fucking dollars, dickhead.
Son of a bitch.
How did you not know this? I know nothing about superheroes.
Okay, $10 to you.
I mean, it is DC, so...
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Who's in this?
What are they? They're probably on Wednesdays in TNT.
I'm going to read you these fucking people. And I'm probably going to pronounce half the names wrong. Black Manta.
Ooh, it's Kobe.
Giganta. Toy Man. The Riddler. I know him. Bizarro. Scarecrow. Lex Luthor. Captain Cold. Cheetah. Solomon Grundy. Gorilla Grood. Brainiac.
They're a tag team in the Indies, I swear to God.
And Sinestro. They're their own TV show. Their base is the Hall of Doom.
Wait, are they opposed to the Super Friends?
Yes.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Yes, they're from Challenge of the Super Friends.
All right, well, let's get.
I will expect my $10 delivered by money order.
Okay, stop. I got paid a lottery winner in money order, and it made my life miserable for a fucking week. I got paid a Western Union money order. I look at the
for
guy
a lottery ticket.
I go, did I just get off fucking duty the Civil War? Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Should I expect a telegram next?
Should I go fucking have a shootout with Jesse James while I'm mining for gold?
The road dog!
Jesus.
The road dog!
Kip stop. Oh, God, we're morons. We're absolute morons.
This is one of those shows that just keeps divulging.
You know what? I enjoy recording those the most. But, yeah.
Nothing beats our fucking breakdown of the Fast Movie franchise.
Oh, my God. That should go in the Hall of Fame.
Or our Con Cena's big con stud.
Connie Rods. Oh my god.
Con Mala. The great Conley.
Oh my god.
Conjure the Giant.
God damn it, how are we not thinking of that one?
We probably have, dude. We do this.
Oh my god.
And that's a great segue because what are we talking about next?
Con Moxley. Oh, yeah, that is a great segue. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm so flustered right now because that was fun. It's really hot down here.
Yeah.
But AEW is allowing fans back into the place. Kind of. I don't know the exact specifics, so if you can help me out here.
10 to 15%. They're going to start at 10%, which is about 550 people. Venue holds 5,500. And then if 10% goes well and nobody fucking gets sick and dies, they're going to increase to 15%, which would be about 850 people. The seats are sold in groups of 2, 4, and 6. So, like, you know, if you're going with 6 people, you're just sitting with those 6 people and no one else. Space them out all throughout Daly's place. No one will be on the floor, so, like, no one's close to the wrestlers. It's, I don't want to say it's safe, but it's as safe as you could possibly have a wrestling show in today's times.
Yeah, no, if they're going to do it, this is the way they have to do it.
Yeah.
It's luckily that Daly's place is outside.
Yeah, that's the big deal, that it's fresh air. It's not the same air circulating over and over and over. And they've been doing trial runs. They've had about 150 friends and family at the episodes for the past month, so they're not just diving into the deep end of the pool. They've masks will be mandatory, temperature checks will be mandatory. Speaking of that, how about that fucking temperature gimmick Saturday?
That was wild.
That was, yeah.
Dude,
that was
the first. It's the first time a temperature check in a while that I didn't appear dead, because the place. Because I've been doing it for work, like getting in hospitals and shit. Mm-hmm. But I go back into a -30-degree freezer, and I come out and I'm legally dead because the it's just cold in my forehead. But that's about it.
Yeah, so temperature checks, masks, social distancing, all that good junk.
It's Carbuckle! There he is!
Oh my god.
Of course he's there.
I
wish Tony Khan was there. How funny would that be? Would you loosen my leash a little bit if Tony Khan was in the Thunderdome?
Actually, yes, I would. If Tony Khan fucking showed up in the Thunderdome, I would absolutely let you unload a few.
Oh my god, that's awesome. But so yeah, if they're gonna do it, this is the way to do it. I'm not sure if it's the right or wrong idea. I am not a person that matters in all of this. I have my own opinions, but I have no real power yet. So, you know,
yeah, more, like, power to it. And like, I don't think it's a bad idea to try. Like, you know, if you know, but I think even if you get like one case, you got to shut it down for a while. You know?
Yeah, they do. I'm assuming that's a plan too.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to go out this reckless because...
No, I mean...
They have more to lose than WWE does. Like, I mean...
They can lose it all.
They could afford the lawsuit because the cons have more money than they know what to do with, but...
They have to sell Kismet, and he's never selling Kismet.
Or the Jags. I'd sell the Jags yesterday.
I could buy the Jags.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Dude, like, the cheapest NFL franchise is, like, $1.5 billion.
You don't think I have that?
I know you don't have that because you do more in our power to fucking... not work and sell ice cream.
What?
If you had $1.5 billion, you would not be selling ice cream.
Oh, not a way. I'm not a chance of fucking hell. But that's it for the news this week. We will come up with a different kind of war report, as in the shows took place on different days. And we'll be right back.
The Cold War Report.
The Cold War Report.
There we go. That's what we're going with.
Rusev's coming in?
You never know. He claims he's retired, though.
He's retired.
And he's Bulgarian, not Russian. Stop stereotyping.
He pledged to Putin for a while there.
Yeah, because the WWE stereotypes.
Indeed they do. But up next, War Report.
Welcome to a special edition of the War Report. Some may call it the Cold War Report, because these two shows actually did not go head-to-head this week. And as always... scratch that. We're changing it up. We're going in chronological order. We will start with NXT from August 19th, year of our Lord, 2020.
And our Lord as in Glenn Cain Jacobs.
I say our Lord is the Wednesday night.
The Wednesday night. He is our Wednesday night.
So the opener, the North American title ladder match qualifier John E. Gargano taking on Ridge Holland.
Scary one in this one.
Yeah, so Ridge Holland was taking advantage of his power early. Gargano eventually took control of the suicide dive. And then the spot that everybody was talking about happened. So Gargano was going for a leap. He was caught by Mr. Holland, and he tried to swiftly, in one singular motion, give him a power slam, a scoop slam. And what happened was he dropped Johnny Gargano right on the top of his head. Scary moment.
Absolutely terrifying moment.
Yeah, I don't know how Gargano was walking, let alone competing in a ladder. Well, I guess the ladder match was like a week later because it was taped a week
ago. Yeah, if there was nothing wrong, yeah, then he's fine. But he's lucky that there was nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Because he landed with a big man on his head.
So they stopped the match for a little bit, which I'm surprised they didn't edit that out. But eventually, Johnny's good to go. Candice LeRae comes in for the distraction.
Once they found out he was okay, I mean, I think that tells a better story than anything else, right? What actually happened.
Well, he's a heel. He's not supposed to overcome the odds.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Rich Holland is taking a dick kick city. Gargano hits the one final beat and qualifies for the ladder match. Decent match. Scary botch, but decent match.
You're big on Ridge Holland, as am I. Oh, they're wearing the same gear from last night. But yeah, decent match, and Johnny ended up going on to the ladder match, which we'll talk about later.
Jesse Kamea taking on Dakota Kai. Squash match. Dakota Kai wins rather quickly with the GTK. Afterwards, Kai taunts Shirai. That rhymes.
You didn't even know it.
Io does not care for Dakota Kai's words. But then a returning Raquel Gonzalez takes out Io Shirai, and Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez take advantage and beat down Io Shirai days before the women's championship match. Legado del Fantasma taking on Breezango and Swerve. This is a really fun six-man. Breezango was a house of fire early. Eventually, the action calmed down. Santos Escobar got the heat on Fandango. Joaquin Wilde then tagged in, worked on the left arm of Fandango, which was hurt coming in the match. Isaiah Swerve Scott got the hot tag. He got a lot of offense, and including on the Cruiserweight Champion, and they were telling the story that he is the only man to beat Santos Escobar in NXT. I hated the finish of this one. Tyler Breeze accidentally tagged in, like Swerve was like thrown into him, and they called this a tag for some reason. And then Scott, I guess they wanted to have Scott get a visual pin over Santos, but he wasn't the legal man. So I get what they did. It's just like,
you would have done it differently.
Well, that's not a rule. Like, if I fucking throw you into your partner, it's not a fucking tag.
That's true.
Tag team wrestling has never worked like that.
Well, tag team wrestling never worked like anything.
And then
at least he didn't tag on while he was inside the ring.
I guess that's true. Escobar hit Breeze with the Phantom Driver for the victory. I like the match. Finish could have been better, but I think this was probably the best match in the show.
Yeah, Legado del Fantasma, or as in our Pope Matt Martel likes to say, Fantasmo number two. Yes. I believe is what he said.
Yes.
And it was a good match. I'm big on Breeze Dango. I missed their backstage segment and their pictures because that was the best part of SmackDown for a while. But up next, we got our first little taste of what Saturday was going to be like.
The Undisputed Era comes out. They call out Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee does not come alone. He brings 28 years of NFL experience with him, with former Green Bay Packer and Super Bowl champion A.J. Hawk.
Dumb fucking Buckeye.
As well as Pat McAfee's former Colts teammate Darius Butler. McAfee cut a great promo. Probably, he said he's a different level human and athlete than Adam Cole. And he was talking shit. Adam Cole tried to confront him. The geeks hopped in. Adam Cole single-handedly eviscerated the geeks. And then McAfee was told that Sunday he was going to be Cole's bitch.
Yeah. This was our first taste. McAfee cut an unbelievable promo.
Yeah, it was great. I undersold that promo, but it was great.
It was great, and I think McAfee has to be the heel here. Because I think we proved he's such a natural goddamn heel. He's so natural. His voice is heel voice.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. I mean, if you ever listen to his fucking show, you know the guy oozes charisma and can talk. So this wasn't a surprise if you follow Pat McAfee. But yeah, I thought this was great. And yeah, we'll get into the match itself in a little bit. Up next, tag team match, Rhea Ripley and Shotzi Blackheart taking on Mercedes Martinez and Aaliyah. Shotzi came out, beat the hell out of Aaliyah early, while Ripley and Martinez just stared at each other. Martinez only got in the action when Aaliyah already had control, and they continued to isolate Blackheart.
This match did get a little wild. It got lost for a while, I believe. That is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Live commentary, Ivar just gave the Bachelorette a turkey leg. Or Mutton is still under investigation.
I think it's a turkey leg. I think he said it's a turkey leg.
And now they're leaving.
Because they made a joke in the bowling that he got a turkey, but it was the fucking turkey leg. So I think we have confirmed that it is turkey.
That's good shit. Now back to Rhea Ripley.
She murdered Mercedes Martinez. I don't know what else there is to fucking say.
Just destroyed her. I'm ready for those two to wrestle.
Yeah, you know me. My rule is when Aaliyah's on the screen, I change the channel.
Yeah. I'm ready for Ripley and Martinez to get there.
Yeah.
I think that'll be great. I mean, Mercedes Martinez is a legend of women's wrestling for the last 15 years, and I think it could do Rhea Ripley great to go over.
Yeah, I agree. Rhea Ripley's definitely lost some steam since losing the title at Mania, and this could be a good chance to start the rehab. So, the main event, Finn Balor taking on the Preteen Dream. They showed a video package with Cross and Lee prior to the main event. This one's going to be tough to review just because of circumstances. Velveteen Dream played mind games.
Yeah, let's not talk about him playing any mind games.
But they did not affect Finn Balor because I'm not going to make jokes.
Yeah, no, it's not a jokeable offense.
This broke down into all sorts of wackiness. Cameron Grimes came out. He taunted both men. He climbed the ladder and just took the title and, like, was modeling it. He was modeling that title. This distracted Dream.
Grimes was fantastic. Grimes used to sit there. He could taunt people better than anybody else.
Grimes was distracting Dream a lot more than Balor, which is surprising considering the amount of hair that Cameron Grimes has. Eventually, Balor starts his comeback with a superplex.
I didn't think about that for a minute. I'm sorry.
But then Gargano shows up. He tips poor Cameron Grimes off the ladder. The referee then sees the geek sprawling and decides to go out and see what's going on. Then a wild Bronson Reed appears. And he is met by an even wilder Damian Priest. And then...
he took back his land.
I'm not even getting into that. That's a whole other can of worms.
Oh, there's several things we're not getting into from this weekend.
Then Timothy Thatcher finally shows up. He cost Balor the match. Dream hits the Dream Valley Driver, Purple Rainmaker for the win. After the match, Reed took out everybody and stood tall with the title. What did you think of the show?
Thatcher, it was not good. It's not that it wasn't good. They're hitting this weird stride. I'm not going to see it stride, but the shows aren't bad, but they're not good either.
I'm realizing NXT needs to be an hour. Like, 2 hours is just too much filler.
Yeah, but I think there's they have the talent to go. I don't know. It's not a bad show by any means, but it's not a good show right now.
So let's get into all
there of was, that. There was a while where it was the best wrestling show on the planet.
When it was 1 hour on the fucking WWE Network. Let's get into AEW Dynamite from a couple days later on August 22nd.
Would you be opposed to them going to an hour at 6:05?
I mean, why would they do that?
I don't know. Just a thought.
Actually, I would be opposed to that, because on Wednesdays, you don't get out of work till 7.
Yeah.
So I'd be very opposed to that.
Very true.
AEW on TNT. Dynamite. Saturday Night Dynamite. Has a nice ring to it. FTR and Private Party starts out the show. Everyone's already in the ring by the time the match begins.
Big fan of that.
This was live, so they were probably standing in that ring for fucking 25 minutes waiting for the Heat and Pacers to end.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
They were probably just standing in that fucking ring, like, when the fuck is this show, is this game gonna end? Tully joined FTR ringside. That's a nice, interesting dynamic. Pierce, he's with them now after the beatdown of the Rock and Roll last week.
So look at him, Spears, and them.
Oh god.
Christ.
Private Party used quick tags and double team moves to keep Hardwood off guard. But then FTR came back with a double clothesline on Quinn, and they kept him isolated and took control. Every time Quinn got a little bit of separation, Hardwood would cut him off.
I love how they cut people off. They cut the ring in half.
It's old school tag team wrestling.
Old school tag team wrestling is fucking beautiful. It's goddamn beautiful. Did you ever watch any, like, Austin Pillman matches?
Yeah.
Oh my god, they're fabulous. They're absolutely fabulous.
And the reason why it's so fabulous is because when Cassidy finally got that hot tag, he just fucking went off, and it was excellent. Quinn with a blind tag, crossbody, very close near fall. Private Party almost scores the upset. Eventually, Tully Blanchard saves Wheeler from a plancha. Hardwood sends Quinn into the post, and they hit the Goodnight Express, and FTR defeats Private Party. This was awesome. I was a big fan of this match. I'm a fan of all four guys. I'd love to see a Private Party in more matches like this.
I am a fan of the three guys in this match. I'm a fan of Cassidy. I'm a fan of Quinn. And I'm a fan of FDR because they are one entity.
Okay.
Is that fair to say? I can't separate them. I think they're both tremendous wrestlers.
No, that's fair.
They, as a unit, are better than just about any one wrestler.
That's fair. I could get down with that. Up next, Jurassic Express. I'm going to say Jurassic Park. Jurassic Express and the Natural Nightmares take on the Butcher, the Blade, and the Lucha Bros. But before that match, MJF cut a promo, sporting a neck brace and utilizing a walker. And Smart Mark Sterling was there. Big pop for that. If you listen to the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, you know who Smart Mark Sterling is. Good for him to get a chance on national TV. That was really fucking cool. All those Creative Pro guys got to stick together.
Absolutely.
So
except Pat, he's in WWE.
Well.
Especially apparently with some power.
Well, Kurt Hawkins was in WWE too, and they canned his ass.
See ya.
Smart Mark laid out the contract and said the paradigm shift is banned. If Moxley refuses, Mark Sterling will sue. So,
MJF is fabulous as usual.
Yeah, am I the only one getting tired of like the presidential shtick though?
Yes, but I'm getting tired of the actual presidential shtick too. Well, so
maybe that's why I'm so tired of the fake presidential shtick.
That's true. I mean, it's good, but you're right. It's
good because MJF could make anything good.
Do we got? 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Let a power out.
Oh,
you know what's fabulous?
What?
I'll be going. That's on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
I'll be watching that, and I won't have to go to work Monday.
Good for you. I will. I'll have to go to work Saturday.
We'll be back on our Monday morning schedule if you want to be.
We'll figure that out. So now the 8-man tag, Butcher, Baker, Bros, against QT Marshall, Dustin, and the Jurassic Express. So Phoenix and Pentagon do lucha things early. Babyfaces come back. They isolate the heels. They cut the ring in half.
Oh, they're doing it, by the way.
Jesus. the heels cut off Dustin Rhodes, which I'm sure you loved because it allowed Dustin Rhodes to hit a snap power slam.
Oh, the best in the goddamn business.
And he made the hot tag to one Luchasaurus. Jungle Boy hit a tope, wiping out the Butcher. And then he did the same to Phoenix, and then did a plancha to the Butcher and the Blade this time, which left Luchasaurus in there alone against Pentagon. Babyfaces all started hitting their key offenses. Eventually, the heels got in a big argument, and Jungle Boy rolled the Blade up for the win. After the match, the heels continued to argue until Eddie Kingston came out and cut a fucking fantastic promo.
He's 2 for 2 on this fucking show. I've been a big fan of his for years, so.
He said, come with me and everything we want will be ours. But then something interesting happened. He looked at the camera while everyone else looked away and he gave it a big old winksy. So I'm actually very interested to see where that goes.
He is an excellent talent. He's a great there. He can teach a lot of those guys.
Yeah, he's a great guy to have on the roster. Absolutely, no doubt.
I mean, yeah, they have a lot of great guys that could be on the roster.
Yeah.
I mean, Dustin's got to be. He's training, right? Dustin's training in the school.
I don't think he opened it yet.
He will be.
Yeah.
And you know what? Say what you want about Dustin Rhodes. I like him way too much. You know that. I just think he's tremendous. I think he's a great wrestler, but that motherfucker can teach people how to wrestle. Look at him. Look how great in shape he's in. And I think that could be his legacy in the business because as it comes to like in-ring talent, he's up there, right? Yeah. As a consistency for 30 fucking years.
I'd say so.
And he in his late 40s in WWE, was having the best match of his life.
Yeah.
He had the best match of his life with his brother.
I was just saying, all you got to do is go back to Double or Nothing last year.
Good God almighty, Dustin.
No, go back to Fight for the Fallen. I thought Cody and Dustin versus Young Bucks was very fucking good.
Just very long.
Up next, Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends joined Tony Schiavone for an in-ring promo. You're going to have a lot more to say about this than I am, so I'm just going to run down what happened, then I will let you go off, because I know you have some shit to say.
I don't think I want to waste the energy.
Chris Jericho interrupts before Cassidy could say a word. Not that he was going to say a word anyway, but point still stands. Jericho says that he has a knack for inventing gimmick matches. He invented a certain gimmick match involving briefcases and a ladder, and that's going to be nothing compared to his latest creation. He says, "You like orange juice, I like a little bit of the bubbly." So what we're going to do is have a match we can win by pinfall, submission, or throwing your opponent into an 80-gallon tub of mimosas. It is the Mimosa Mayhem match. And this will take place at All Out. Orange Cassidy gave his little half thumbs up to signify that he accepts the Mimosa Mayhem match. And then the Inner Circle beat the Best Friend's ass, and they poured like 25 bottles of a little bit of the bubbly all over Orange Cassidy. I'm going to reserve judgment, because does it sound stupid? Abso-fucking-lutely. If WWE did this, would it be destroyed? Abso-fucking-lutely. But if any man on the planet could work, can make it work, it's Christopher Irvine. So I know you have a lot more vitriol and vinegar about it than I do. So the floor is yours, sir.
It's fucking dumb. What happened to you, Chris?
I mean, I'm not going to argue that it's dumb, but it's if anyone can make it work, it's Chris Jericho.
And I'm not disagreeing with you there.
And I'm not disagreeing with you there that it's dumb, because it's very dumb.
You know his fat ass is taking a fucking spill in that mimosa.
I'm just confused. And like, if you're going to have an 80-gallon tub of fucking orange juice and champagne,
like, he's not going to win it with a lion's salt. Like, yeah.
Can you win by pinfall or submission?
I don't know. I'm going to watch it. I'm probably going to enjoy it, but that angers me to right now. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
So fucking stupid.
The Elite taking on the Dark Order, comprised of Allen 5 Angels, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds in 6-man tag team action. So the heels launched a steel chair at Omega that allowed them to get the heat as they go to break. As they come back from break, Nick Jackson is making his hot tag. Best comeback in the business, baby!
Yeah, I'm still not over being mad at that.
And then the Elite tee off on Reynolds, but then they miss a charge into a corner, allowing the Dark Order to get control. Buck set up for the Meltzer driver, but Dark Order cuts it off. Angels tries a moonsault, but he can't hit. And then Omega hits the one winged angel and gets the victory. After the match, Omega loses his cool, grabbing a steel chair, and he threatens to powerbomb Angels on it, but the Young Bucks talk him out of it. And Kenny Omega's mean streak continues to grow. What does it mean? We'll just have to wait till tensions finally boil over between him and the Hangman. But I thought this was a fine tag team match. Yeah. Told a good story.
If you pictured what this was going to be, it's exactly what it was.
They continue to tell the story that Omega is more focused on his trio with the Bucks than he is with being a tag team partner with Paige. And that's why FTR are able to manipulate Paige and get him to think that they're buddies with him. And I think that's brilliant storytelling.
No, that has been good. Adam Page is tremendous. I wish they would split already.
Yeah, so speak of the devil, FTR and Page are all backstage, and they manipulate Page by telling him that a loss to the Young Bucks would put them back in their shadow, and they announce that next week it will be a gauntlet match between the top 4 teams, with the winners challenging Kenny and the Hangman at All Out.
I wonder who's going to win that.
You never know. With this company, you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
Darby Allin taking on Will Hobbs. Will Hobbs is a gigantic African-American man.
He's huge.
He is absolutely ginormous. I mean, they can't find anything to do with it. I love Darby Allin, but there are probably 550 guys that could do the J-O-B to Darby Allin.
He's out there wrestling Joel Embiid.
This guy has something here, I think, with his size. So Hobbs got some offense in. He got a near fall after some clubbering blows in the corner. He went for a running power slam. That was his mistake because Allen countered and hit the coffin drop for the win. After the match, Taz cut a promo on Darby Allen. He says that Team Taz has a new member. Instead, it was emo Ricky Starks. Brian Cage comes out of nowhere, attacks Allen. And then Starks delivers a coffin drop of his own to close out the segment. I liked it. The only thing I would have changed is find a different guy for Darby to beat.
Absolutely. Because
I take one look at Will fucking Hobbs, and I can see him beat. Even the name, Will Hobbs.
Yeah, that's...
Straight out of Fast and Furious.
I know.
He might, like... That dude has something.
Absolutely, he does.
But I liked everything else. I liked Ricky Starks' fake Darby Allin. That cracked me up. Up next, the Women's Tag Team Tournament Finals. Sammy Guevara did his picture-in-picture promo until Matt Hardy ambushed. He hit him with a bunch of steel chair shots. Guevara escaped, but Matt Hardy still did his damage. Up next is something I legitimately popped for. The NWA Women's Championship was seen, and out comes Thunder Rosa. And she called out Hikaru Shida, who is the AEW Women's Championship champion. If she was the championship, that'd be quite impressive.
Yes, that would be very impressive. I do would like to wear her, though.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you, but... So, yeah, I'm all for Thunder Rosa and Shida.
That could bring some credibility to this division.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of credibility to the division, out comes Brandi Rhodes and Allie, the Nightmare Sisters, as they take on Ivelisse and Diamante.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Thank fucking God they didn't win this match.
Yeah.
I would be genuinely angry if they won this match.
I wonder if the plan was for them to win and then like all the backlash started and they're like, we can't do this.
Probably.
Or, well, I don't know. Maybe this whole thing was just, you know, to get Ivelisse and Diamante over.
Possibly.
So, but either way, the match was what it was. It was fine. You know, at least they got some time. That's a plus. The finish came when Diamante hit a tornado suplex on Allie, and that allowed her to make the hot tag to Ivelisse. Diamante hit a big uppercut that rocked Allie. Marshall tried to interfere, but Ivelisse sent Rhodes into him, and then Ivelisse pinned Allie for the win, and they win the cup. Feel good moment.
Good for them.
Yeah. And now the main event. Cody, who is now the Prince of Pro Wrestling, taking on the Exalted One, Mr. Brody Lee. The match was Brody Lee just destroys Cody.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Although, can I say one thing? Watching this and reading it, I had two very different opinions about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, we talked about it a little before off air. It seems like you did too. This was better on air than it was on paper.
Yeah. I just think we had someone very anti-AEW describing it to us, and that's probably what made it sound the way it did.
Brody finally looks like he can move a little bit.
So, yeah, couple of power bombs, then the discus clothesline, and Brody Lee wins the TNT Championship. After the match, Shivani interviews Brody Lee. The doctors check on Cody. They put a neck brace on him. That's the only part I thought was kind of silly. He took a couple power bombs and a clothesline.
Yeah, he did not need to use a stretcher job.
I'm not even mad about the stretcher job, but just like acting like this man may have a broken neck. That's kind of what... Cody gave a thumbs up, but then the Dark Order assaulted poor Arn Anderson, who just wants things to be back to normal so he can rise again. Then they overturned the stretcher. Refs order the Dark Order away, but Brody Lee blasts Cody over the head with a black bag, which later we found out contained the old TNT title, which is now smacked in a million pieces.
I bet that's going to be defended 24/7.
If they do that, they can't do that. Brody Lee stood tall as Evil Uno and Stu Grayson beat down Dustin and QT. I can only imagine how that made you feel.
Made me hurt inside a little bit.
Evil
Uno hitting the best wrestler ever.
And then as Brandi checks on her husband, Anna Jay comes out and puts her to sleep, which I actually thought was great shit.
It was.
Dark Order, stand tall to close the show. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
It was a good piece of business.
We've always been fans of Brody Lee, Luke Harper, whatever you want to call him. We've always been fans of the guy. We always thought that he could be a main event player. I wasn't a fan of the Vince McMahon impersonating stuff. Seems they've dropped that aspect of his character.
Thank God.
And he's just kind of like, you know, a normal cult leader now, which he could play the role well.
Yes. He looks like wanting to do this fucking thing, too.
And they kept him credible in his loss against Moxley at Double or Nothing. and he stayed strong, and he absolutely beat the shit out of Cody, took the title, and we'll see what is in store for the TNT title now. I saw some people pushing the ex-WWE guy narrative. I think that's kind of unfair, but I mean,
they were going to deal with it regardless.
All of their singles champions, all their male singles champions in WWE history have been former WWE guys. Jericho and Mox for the world title, Cody and Brody for the TNT title. But I still think it's an unfair narrative. It's a lazy narrative. It's just kind of a...
It's one that exists among wrestling fans, though.
Yeah, it's wrestling fans are the worst. Everyone knows that.
Yep. One knows that more than wrestling fans.
Yeah. At least they're self-aware.
Yeah.
So now it's time to give out grades, MVPs, and tell the people which show you thought was the better show of the week.
AEW had the better show. My MVP for that is Brody Lee. He looked phenomenal. My NXT MVP is Cameron Grimes for just being on that little ladder, making fun of people.
Going straight to the moon.
It was outstanding. My overall MVP, I think there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, we're probably got the same one.
It's here. Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
He came to fucking play, and he showed up, and we'll get to exactly how much he played in just a few minutes.
And he's not even Mike Mizanin.
I
agree with AEW having the better show. Since you went with Brody, I will go with FTR. I love that opening tag match. I thought that was the best match on either show. NXT MVP, I went with Johnny Gargano because somehow he survived being dropped on his fucking head. And, you know, he came back to win the match. And overall MVP has to be Pat McAfee. I've never seen a dude silence so many haters in the span of 5 days between his promo and his performance, which we'll get to in a minute. So yeah, props to Pat McAfee. Props to AEW for putting on a great show. We'll have another week of the Cold War next week as NXT airs on its normal Wednesday, and AEW is Thursday Night Dynamite this week.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, so we'll see how shit shapes up this week. We're on the road to All Out. We'll see how that card continues to shape up. I'm excited. And coming up next, we'll talk TakeOver and SummerSlam. You'll never see it coming. NXT TakeOver took place Saturday, August 22nd, 2020, at Full Sail University. It is the 30th TakeOver in NXT history. Pre-show match, triple threat number one contenders match for the NXT Tag Team titles. Breezango beat Lurkin and Birch and Legado del Fantasma. We missed this match. It only went 6 minutes and 52 seconds. It's probably a nice little fast-paced sprint, though, but honestly, we missed it, so I can't give you too much of our thoughts on it. The proper opener, Finn Balor defeated Timothy Thatcher in 13 minutes and 32 seconds. This was exactly what we expected a Timothy Thatcher match to look like. A lot of holds, a lot of strikes, a lot of catch-as-catch-can wrestling.
I'm a big fan of his.
Tim Thatcher's shoot fighter was in full effect. He had the match in control.
I'll tell you what, Finn wrestled with him a little bit.
He did. Eventually,
his dumb tattoos.
Finn hit the coup de grace and got the W. Finn is like...
He hit the 1916.
After the coup de grace.
Yeah.
Still hit the coup de grace and won.
He did. He did.
And Finn Balor has been very protected at NXT, and I still don't know why.
He's been very protected his entire career. He doesn't fucking lose.
He beat Damian Priest and it led to nothing. Yeah. And now Damian Priest is champ.
That match kicked a lot of ass.
The match is awesome. This match kicked ass too, but yeah, it just led to nothing.
But...
Uh-oh, Angie's back.
Oh, Angie. Angie! Oh, why is she back? Why is she here?
She's awesome. What do you mean why is she here?
She is great.
She put the fear of God in Seth Rollins. up next, the ladder match for the vacant NXT North American Championship. Cameron Grimes taking on Johnny Gargano, the Velveteen Dream, Bronson Reed, and Damian Priest. I don't even know where to start with this match. Crazy ladder spots.
Match of the weekend.
So, Candice LeRae interfered. She climbed on Bronson Reed's back. Bronson Reed hit a splash from the top of the ladder with Candice on his back onto Gargano. That looked rough.
She just flew the fuck out of the ring.
Cameron Grimes is forced to do a split on the ladder. That looked like it sucked. Poor Cameron Grimes is getting his ass kicked this entire
Cameron night. Grimes almost won this match 9 times.
Cameron Grimes was just in this match to take every ridiculous bump.
They did my favorite little spot, which is the...
Oh, and he pulled the fucking...
The cross body with the flip.
Yeah.
I don't know how the fuck they do it.
I liked when he pulled the little mini ladder out and he goes, "Who put this here?"
That was funny too. He looked at the guy and goes, "Did you put this here?" he can lose every match ever and still be over as fuck. He's the best. Fucking tremendous.
If you don't like Cameron Grimes, you don't like pro wrestling.
He is.
And I don't like making statements like that, but Cameron Grimes
is the most... No, you're not going to get it. You know,
Cameron Grimes is the most pro wrestler ever.
You're not going to... I think that's the point. I think that's the fucking... Like, he's the most 1986 old school mid-card Memphis heel you'll ever find in your life.
I'd like to see him and King Parsons as a fucking nice little tag team.
Pork Chop Cash. I love this. I love Cameron Grimes. He's fantastic. And I'm sorry, this is not the match of the weekend, but this was unbelievable. And I don't want to say anything nice about the Velveteen Dream right now, but I think he's dead.
Yeah, I don't know if that was to write him off. I don't know what the deal was.
On
the post NXT conference call, Triple H reiterated again that they looked into the situation and there's nothing to it. I mean, nobody on earth believes him, but.
Show me. Like, I don't want to label the guy a fucking creep and a pedophile if he's not.
You're not putting out any evidence that he's innocent.
Show me he's not.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for the guy, but if he's not a freaking pedophile and a person who infiltrates 16-year-old girls' social media.
Boys.
If he doesn't want to... Okay, boys. Either way, I don't want to label him one, but show me that he's not. There's a hell of a lot of evidence the other way.
Yeah.
So just show me he's not. But there was a spot in this match where he was on top of the ladder about to win. As a certain part of us clinched because that's his bad PR. I believe it was Cameron Grimes who tipped it over. He hit the rope and flew about, I'm not kidding you, probably 40 feet.
Yeah, he fucking flew.
I mean, I hope he's okay, especially if he's innocent. But, like, Jesus fucking Christ. I think it's honestly to write him off until they make a decision because they have to cave to the pressure. This is not the 90s. You can't sweep shit under the rug like you did then.
And Damian Priest did a crazy tope con Hilo running up a ladder like he's fucking Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin was copied a lot in this goddamn show.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get there in a minute.
Eventually, who's at the top of the ladder? That looked like it was it Grimes again. When Damian did that awesome camera shot of Priest's hand just like reaching up and grabbing the throat, it was either Grimes or was it? I think it was Grimes.
It was Grimes or Gargano.
Yeah, but anyway, they get knocked off the ladder, and Damian Priest grabs the North American Championship, and then in my favorite fucking moment of the night, he walks to the back. And for some reason, there's a fucking hot tub with chicks in it.
And his giant Hummer.
In the back of Full Sail. I hope he brought the chicks and the hot tub from the back of his Hummer and set it up out there. Like, why is there just a
giant... He's farting!
He jumped in his gear!
He's a champion of North America!
he was wearing leather pants and just hopped in a hot tub.
Triple H took a picture with him.
Yeah, he wouldn't even get in the hot tub for the Triple H point.
I do have to say, great showing by everybody. Would this better than the first one?
No.
No?
No.
Because that match kicked a lot of ass.
Yeah, no.
But,
it was good, though.
It was very good. Better than I thought it was going to be. Best gimmick match of the pandemic, maybe?
I'd have to go back and think about that one. I remember the Morrison... Uso, Kofi ladder match from WrestleMania kicking ass.
It did.
And do you consider the Boneyard match a gimmick match?
No,
like
it's
this?
A cinematic match.
All right, up next, the one everyone's talking about. Adam Cole taking on Pat McAfee. This went 16 minutes and 12 seconds. Pat and his entourage had shirts that says Cole sucks.
He was wearing the For the Brand knee pads.
Yeah, his Titantron was the most obnoxious Titantron I've ever seen.
Natural heel.
It was so on point for what Pat McAfee is. So the match starts. I'll get my one critique out of the way right now. Pat McAfee might have the worst lockup I've ever seen.
He locked up and we both looked at each other and went, oh no. Because you're watching with some non-wrestling fans, they didn't tell the difference, and he had the worst lockup I've ever seen.
He had the worst lockup I've ever
seen. Honest to God, hand across my heart, hope to die. That was the worst collar and elbow tie-up I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But...
Everything else is great.
From there on.
Yeah, everything else is... Well, I wouldn't say from there on, because he locked up like five fucking times in this match.
But he was fucking great.
Yeah.
He throws a great punch.
He throws a good punch.
He throws a great punch.
I wouldn't go great. He throws a good punch. Great is Jeff Jarrett, Jerry Lawler, and he's not there.
We did. I don't know if they know the story. The best two punches we saw in a while were Jeff Jarrett at the Rumble, because old school. And we saw Jerry Lawler. We sat front row.
Yeah.
And we saw Jerry Lawler. I forget who even the fuck he even wrestled.
Sam Adonis.
Oh, he wrestled Corey Graves' brother.
Yeah.
And happy 30 years, Natalia. And
she's a fool.
Thank God she could wrestle. But are they going to do a TikTok dance? Please tell me they're not going to do a TikTok dance. But he was great. He fucking did the backflip.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Okay, so you're right.
Pat stalled a lot early. He went to the outside.
Oh my God, I'm way ahead of myself. I'm sorry.
The Undisputed Era went to the back as soon as the match started, but Pat's goon stuck around. So they went to the outside. Cole tried confronting McAfee on the outside. AJ Hawk and Darius Butler stepped up. Out came the Undisputed Era in response. Then out came about 50 million security geeks. Pat McAfee disappeared into the abyss. They cut to the camera, and he's on the top rope. He did the subliminal Jeff Hardy taunt as homage. And then he did a picture-perfect swanton bomb onto the whole entire pile of bodies.
And it looked fucking great.
It did. It looked very good. Some other spots in the match. Adam Cole kind of got control when he goaded Pat into going for the punt, but Pat missed and went hit the steel steps. Adam Cole used a figure four. Pat McAfee was able to get to the ropes.
You're forgetting one thing in this match.
What?
McAfee throws Cole down by his hair.
Oh, yeah, yes. That is
the ref goes, you can't do that. That's the rules. He goes, that is not a rule. And you know what? It's his first match. He doesn't know that.
Yeah.
But everything was just a wonderful surprise.
Yeah. So like you said, Adam Cole's on the top rope. Pat McAfee did the Shelton Benjamin spot where he leaps straight from the floor all the way to the top rope. He hits a superplex. Before that, Cole pushed him and he did a backflip and landed on his feet off the ropes. I don't know if you listened to his radio show today, but he was talking about his one regret. He goes, I went to the top rope, and once I got up there, I realized I can't do anything from the top rope. So I came off with a double axe handle and got a super kick right to my face for my troubles. At least he realized the double axe handle off the top was a bad call.
I laughed so hard when he did that.
So
generic WWE wrestling video game move.
From 1986. I think Luthez hit that to win his first NWA title.
Probably.
Cole hits the Ushiguroshi. And then he teases the last shot, but he picks the knee pad back up. And this gets funny, because me and you were trying to figure out how this match was going to end. Like, we knew Cole was going to win, but we're like, what's the finish going to be? Because there's no way in hell he takes a Panama Sunrise. And like you said, we were watching it with two people who, one I'd say is a casual wrestling fan, the other has no clue what's going on.
Oh, the Hurt Business is in it. Oh, there's smoke!
Of course there's smoke. It's Raw Underground. When would there be smoke?
I love the fist bump.
And anyway, where were we? So Adam Cole picks the knee pad back up.
We're talking about how me and you said there's way.
And they're like, what's a Panama Sunrise? So I YouTube the move, I show them, and they just started laughing. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's going to be a last shot, 1, 2, 3. But then Adam Cole picks the knee pad back up. He climbs the second rope. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. And then Adam Cole jumps off the top rope. Pat McAfee takes a picture-perfect destroyer. Cole gets the victory, 1, 2, 3.
Well fucking done.
A legend was made.
Well done. I would like to see him in more matches.
Yeah.
You know what? He wasn't perfect.
No, but...
But, Jesus Christ, he didn't have to be Bobby fucking Eaton.
It was his second match ever, and his first match was while he was still on the fucking West Virginia Mountaineers.
Yeah. So, It couldn't have gone any better.
Yeah.
In my eyes. It could not have gone any better. Happy for Pat. Cole made him look like $1 million. Cole looked like $1 million, as he usually does. I'm assuming both men shook hands backstage and got to thank each other for a great match.
Yeah, so that was good shit.
That was a match of the weekend.
I don't know about that.
I mean, for expectations?
I guess. Okay. I think Pat had the better performance, but I think I had higher expectations for him than I did for Dominic. I think, like, grading on a curve, Dominic probably had a better performance just because I expected Pat to be good.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
I'm not taking anything away from Pat.
No, fair enough.
Up next, the NXT Women's Championships on the line. Io Shirai defends against Dakota Kai against Raquel Gonzalez. Both these women are very good. I enjoyed this match. A lot of chicanery at the finish. Dakota Kai went for the running boot in the corner. She hit the ref. Rhea Ripley comes out, Now all four women are kind of getting into it. Eventually, Io Shirai is able to hit the moonsault on Dakota Kai and get the victory. This is a match I feel like I got to go back and watch again because I was kind of distracted during it. I didn't really get to appreciate it fully. And then the main event.
Yes, very good match. Right winner.
Karrion Kross with Scarlett challenges Keith Lee for the NXT Championship. A lot of people didn't like this match. I wouldn't say I didn't like this match. It was a different style of match than you're used to from NXT main events. It was more story-based. It was more...
Two big guys.
It was more plotting, methodical.
Power moves.
It's kind of like a Randy Orton match.
Yeah.
A lot of Doomsday Saitos, including one from the top rope that was enough to crown Karrion Kross as the NXT champion in only his seventh NXT match, which I believe breaks Kevin Owens' record for shortest amount of matches to the NXT title. So it's clear they like Karrion and Scarlett a lot.
I mean, he couldn't lose.
Unfortunately, he separated his shoulder during the match. We still don't know the extent of what the injury is. Hopefully, he doesn't have to vacate it right away, because that would really fucking suck.
Yeah, because that blows a hole right in it.
Yeah.
And you know what? People are like, well, Keith Lee's buried now.
Keith Lee was just on Raw with Randy Orton.
There's huge plans with Keith Lee. There's rumors that both Roman... I mean, look what he did just in one... In a matter of span of 2 months. Look what he did between Survivor Series and
Keith Lee was a transitional champion from the jump. The only reason he got the title is because they needed something to go head-to-head with AEW's Fighter Fest. That's why he was put in the match. That's why he got the title. If you want to argue he should have never got the title, we've been better off not getting the title. That's a fair argument to make. But if you thought Keith Lee was going to have some kind of, like, 300-day reign, it's just... It wasn't going to happen. Kross was always the next guy in line. I thought they made that clear. But yeah, what'd you think? What'd you make a takeover overall?
Very good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed most takeovers. There was never a bad one.
I'll go B+. A lot of people are saying this is a top 10 takeover all time. I don't think I'd go that far.
No, I wouldn't either. They're just too good.
But still very enjoyable.
Bobby's fighting.
Let's move on to the biggest party of the summer. It was the pay-per-view debut for the Thunderdome. So SummerSlam took place at the Amway Center in Orlando, Florida, and something was going to happen that we will not see coming. Wonder what that could be. Pre-show match, Apollo Crews defeats MVP to retain the United States Championship. Fun little match. Seems like they still have some hope for Apollo.
That makes me happy.
It does, because Apollo is a hell of a talent. And he's coming into his own cutting promos, because he used to be an awful promo. But he's
they let him talk a little bit.
Yeah, and he seems confident now.
Yeah. Come on, Zigman! Sorry, Ziggler's fighting Lashley.
The Zigman's getting fed to Bob. Zigman's getting fed to Bobby Underground.
Where'd you pin him? Oh, this is a match. Hold on there. Oh boy, Bobby's kicking Seth or his ass. Wait, is that Ziggler or is that fake Ziggler?
No, that's Ziggler. That's definitely Zigman.
Bobby is destroying him. I just can't imagine what Seth is saying right now. Famouser! Oh, I think he's going for it.
All right, let's move on to SummerSlam. The proper opener, Bayley with Sasha Banks taking on Asuka for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Fun opener. Bayley looks really good. Bayley looked like a damn superstar. Asuka looked great.
Go ahead. Sorry. He yeeted him to the wall.
Asuka was in control. She went for a running hip attack, but Sasha separated the ropes and took the hit for Bayley. Bayley capitalized with an inside cradle, and Bayley retained the SmackDown Women's Championship. But Asuka would have a chance for revenge later. Fun opener. I enjoyed it.
Exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah. Up next, the Street Profits taking on Andrade and Angel Garza for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Basic tag match. Heels got the heat. Montez made a hot tag.
There was a while where Angelo Dawkins was not in this match.
Yeah. Angelo hit the lowdown. Montez followed up with a frog splash where he twisted in midair. That always impresses the hell out of me.
He gets so high.
He has... If I had 2% of the athleticism he had, I'd be a fucking pro athlete. That's how athletic he is.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
And they retain. I was kind of surprised they'd retain, and I don't know what's really left for them to do with the belts, but we know tag team wrestling is never Vincent K's priority anymore. So, it is what it is. Up next, Mandy Rose taking on Sonya Deville in a Loser Leaves WWE No DQ match. This is originally supposed to be hair versus hair, But the story going around was that with the whole Sonya Deville court case going on, her lawyer didn't think it'd be a great look for her to come in and testify with a shaved head, which I kind of really don't understand the lawyer's rationale.
I mean, I think it's better for her case if she has all of her fucking hair.
Doesn't that mean there's a problem with the justice system, though?
Oh, there's a problem with the justice system?
I know there is, but
yes, I guess it does. Right. But this was fine. This was more than fine.
Yep, so they had a decent little match. It wasn't anything mind-blowing, but I thought they had a... Mandy ran wild with V-triggers. That was awesome.
Best V-trigger in the world.
Mandy was hitting... That's Buddy Buckets.
Buddy Buckets is a good one.
Mandy was hitting V-trigger after V-trigger after V-trigger, and eventually it was enough to put Sonya Deville away, and she is quote-unquote gone from World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to do that, but if there was fans, this match would have been really, really good.
Up next, a street fight. Seth Rollins with Murphy. She mentioned Seth Rollins was in Rey Mysterio's 1997 Halloween Havoc gear, tribute to that. And Murphy was kind of playing the role of Eddie Guerrero with the black and the gold. And they took on a debuting Dominic Mysterio in a street fight. The whole story was Dom was getting his ass beat. Rey kept trying to interfere, but Dom wouldn't let him. Eventually, Dom got some offense, hit a couple frog splashes, 619. Nothing was enough to put away Seth, though. Then Seth really took control.
Dominic once again takes a fucking beating.
Yeah, he beat Dominic's ass with a kendo stick. Dominic took the superplex into the Falcon Arrow. Great. He popped the fuck up after that superplex, and he was ready to take that Falcon Arrow. I thought he did a really great job with that.
He did a really great job this whole match.
Yeah.
Like, he blew me away.
So the finish came when WWE got out their comically oversized handcuffs. Rey was handcuffed to the rope as Angie walked on from the stage after Seth threatened to beat Angie's ass. Rey Mysterio did tweet that he was going to play WWE 2K12 and beat his kids once, so you never know. Pumped, I got WWE 2K12. I can't wait to beat my kids later.
Who was he, AJ?
Oh, my God.
That's so funny.
It's hysterical. It's fucking hysterical. But, yeah. Dominic stops Seth from attacking Angie. Eventually...
Dominic ran wild.
Dominic did run wild. Dominic-a-mania was running wild. Eventually, Buddy Murphy comes in for the 2-on-1 advantage. Rey gets handcuffed to the ropes. Seth hits a nasty curb stomp while taunting Rey. Gets the 1-2-3. And then Dominic and Rey have what seemed like a very real embrace in the ring afterwards.
Oh, I mean, of course. You know what? A couple things here. One, Dominic's good. He's going to be good. He's going to be very good. Two, this match was better than it had any business being.
Well, Seth Rollins, yeah, no matter what people think about him, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Seth Rollins carrying a person in his first match to that beautiful match. I mean, it wasn't as dressed up as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a ton of walls, fucking mirrors, but...
It's basically everything I've been doing on Raw, just kendo stick shots, chair shots.
It looked very good. Yeah. It looked very good.
It was a fun match. Asuka versus Sasha Banks.
I thought this was the match of the night.
For the Raw Women's Championship. These two always have fucking great matches together.
Hey, they're two fantastic wrestlers. Asuka might be the best women's wrestler in the world.
It's between her and Io. It's one of the two. I'm not sure which one it is now.
Charlotte's not in right now, so she's away, so it's not going to be her. Charlotte's the best women's wrestler I've ever seen. But right now, Asuka's the best women's wrestler in the world. Or Io.
I don't know. I don't know about your Charlotte take, but that's not what we're here to argue. Charlotte's very good, but saying she's better than some of the 90s All-Japan ladies, that's kind of a big stretch. But whatever, it's your opinion, you're entitled to it. I thought the finish of this match was masterful. Bank statement into the Asuka lock, into the bank statement into the Asuka lock, into the bank statement into the Asuka lock. And then, if you remember, when...
All right, for two unbelievable bumps in this match.
Oh, Asuka taking the power bomb was...
Asuka took a Oklahoma roll power bomb.
Sunset flip bomb.
Sunset flip bomb. But no, she kind of like... No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the wrong match. Yeah, it was a sunset flip bomb to the floor.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's not... Did you see how she tweeted? Someone's like, Asuka, is your head all right? She goes, yes, my head is fine. I absorbed the blow with my neck. I'm like, that's not what you want to do, Asuka. I don't know. That's not what you want to do.
Oh, my Keith's throwing Randy around a little bit. But,
They made him cover himself.
Fat bastard. But, yeah, that's not what you want to do, Asuka. And then, in Sasha, another crazy bump, she takes the face buster DDT from the top rope. Jesus Christ.
But back to the finish. This is where, like, the storytelling in the Bayley-Sasha feud has been the absolute best. If you remember Kairi's last night on Raw, when Bayley was attacking her backstage and she was screaming for Asuka, Asuka came to the rescue and ended up costing her a title. Now, back to SummerSlam, Asuka is Sasha in the Asuka lock, and she's screaming for Bayley, and Bayley doesn't come help.
It's and the best long-term storytelling they've done in a long
and
time.
And Sasha taps out and loses the Raw Women's Championship back and to Asuka.
Just a spoiler, she had her eyes on that title the entire time as we were watching Raw.
Yeah, seems so like...
It's done, it's coming.
I don't know. I really wish there were fans to do it. Well, by the time they pull the trigger, maybe there will be. Because yeah. They still have the tag titles, they still have to lose those for they implode.
Are they going to lose them Sunday?
I don't think Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are going to be the champions.
Yeah, that's true. Wait, do we have a card for that show?
We have two matches.
Never mind then.
We have Shayna and we can predict them right now real quick. Well, actually, no, because I'll spoil the end of the show. We'll predict them real quick at the end of the show, like just rapid fire.
Yeah.
All right, semi-main, Drew McIntyre and Orton. This went 20 minutes and 35 seconds. I feel like this is one that I need to watch back.
You do. I watched it this evening.
I felt like it was every Randy Orton match ever. I do love that they went 20 minutes and never hit their finishers once. Because in a 2020 WWE World title match, you expect finisher, kick out, finisher, kick out, finisher, kick out. Then finally, enough finishers does the job. But for them to do an entire match, never hit their finish, and still have a match that a lot of people enjoyed, that's very telling. You don't know how, well, you were here, so you do know. I laughed so hard when fucking McIntyre pinned him with a backslide, and Tom Phillips at the top of his lungs screamed, "You'll never see it coming!"
Because he never saw it coming.
I'm like, well...
Oh, that was a beautiful spot. I'm sorry. I got lapped up. I'm like, went for the RKO, and Lee just yeeted him.
I'm like, well, you're right. I did not see that coming.
I mean, that's awesome. It's a great finish, I think. I was iffy about it yesterday, but I think it's a great finish.
It is, especially if that feud's going to continue, which it definitely seems like it is.
And it keeps Randy strong.
Yeah. And I think Randy's the one that's taking that title from him. That seems to be where they're headed.
I'm not sure.
I think they want Edge Orton one last time at Mania for the title.
And you know what? They deserve it.
I mean, they have one win apiece. They need a rubber match. Title on the line. But that being said, I'm glad they didn't have Drew lose it yet. They could have him lose it October, November. They could keep this going for a little bit, give him a proper
reign. It's not like a Randy Orton. Randy Orton might be the best. Say you want about his matches. They're a certain way. They're really good, usually. But his work leading up to matches is probably the best in the world.
Especially in 2020.
Yeah, like, he didn't change a bit, and now he...
When he's motivated, he's very good.
Yeah.
It's just, a lot of times, he's not motivated.
He's complacent.
Main event time. The Fiend Bray Wyatt challenging Braun Strowman in a Falls Count Anywhere match for the Universal Championship. Went 12 minutes. The match is pretty much all weapon shots. They fought in gorilla position, threw each other into the walls. They went back to the ring. Braun Strowman pulled out a box cutter. And what did he do with this box cutter? Did he stab Bray Wyatt? Did he slice his mask? Did he stick it up his rectum? No, he cut the ring canvas off and exposed the wood.
At least Bray Wyatt wasn't wearing a bus driver's outfit.
I guess that's true. But if you're going to get a box cutter, fucking use the box cutter.
I'll show you a box cutter.
But eventually, Bray Wyatt hit what was supposed to be a Sister Abigail on the wood, but it completely wasn't on the wood at all. And he got the pin and is the new Universal Champion. And as the Fiend is celebrating... Oh, Drew's back from his punts.
Yeah, I know. He won the match for Keith Lee.
Oh. Big Dog is back.
Speaking of...
Yeah. So that's where I was going with this, actually.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt is celebrating...
It's literally been your next sentence.
Yes. The Big Dog is back. He spears... Bray Wyatt, then he goes out and destroys Braun Strowman with a chair and eventually spears him. Talking all this shit, he tells Braun he's not a monster unless he's there. He made him. And then he tells Bray Wyatt, "You're just a freak in the mask. You're not built for this. I run this bitch." So, is Roman a heel? Is he just an edgy baby face? We really don't know yet.
Just all I know is good to fucking see him.
Yeah. Everybody on Twitter was very happy you have the Big Dog back. And that just shows that, like, you gotta go away so they can miss you.
Yeah.
Because last year at this time, people would have been like,
he might as well have been
Hitler. Yeah.
Like, it's just, he's very good. And I think he's leading Retribution. I think.
No way.
There's
zero chance. What does he want Retribution for?
He never lost the title and he didn't get a match when he came back.
He just came back. What do you mean? He just got a match.
No, when he lost the title from cancer.
Oh.
He never got another match.
Well, he was going to, then he left.
There's a whole year here where you're missing.
Well, he couldn't challenge for the title because he got moved to SmackDown.
And?
The Universal title wasn't on SmackDown.
Oh, you're right.
And then after the draft in October, it was, and then he was going to get a shot, and then he left.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they can make it make sense if they want to, but...
He never lost that title.
No, he didn't. You're right.
So I think that's what it's for. And there's been some rumors online that, not rumors, but I think people pointing out things, they're writing WE. That's what they're writing when they're spray painting.
Yeah.
And what did Roman's shirt say? Wreck everyone.
Wreck everyone. But I think it's just supposed to be a poorly drawn WWE logo. I think you're reading too much into that.
I might be.
Because they do the WE, then they fucking cross it out.
You know, I think there'd be a great chance for him to be a heel here. I'm not saying I want him to... I'm not saying I want to him to be the head of Retribution, but I just think it's possible. Glad to see him back.
I just don't understand why he'd lead a stable of geeks.
I mean, he already did. No, I'm just kidding. But,
wow.
You don't... I mean... One world champion and one geek.
Wow.
I'm not even... I'm talking world champion.
Wow.
One messiah and one geek.
Wow. I knew who you were talking about the whole time.
Oh, my God. But yeah, glad to see him back. It's phenomenal just to have him back. Spoiler alert, he's that fucking good. And we'll see where he's back Friday.
And two quick matches for Payback real quick before we get out of here. We have Nia Jax teaming with Shayna Baszler to take on the Gold Role Models for the women's tag team titles. Who you got?
The Golden Role Models.
Same.
They don't do it yet.
And then we have Roman taking on Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt in a triple threat, no holds barred match for the Universal Championship.
Roman.
I also think Roman's going to win the title back, which I'm not mad about.
No.
I'm just confused on why they'd give The Fiend the title for a week.
Yeah, unless it's the end of The Fiend. I don't know.
Who knows? But when we come back, Mike will give plugs, and then I will get out of your hair, and then, yeah, we'll see you next week.
Peace. Thank you once again for listening to Champions Advantage at Champions Pod every Tuesday at noon. Follow us on Twitter. Every Monday night, our boy Gil Cooter Jr., the Maryland man of mystery, comes out with you at Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio on CBS Baltimore, and his podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts later in the week. Look forward to the return of the Bearded Wrestling Podcast with Chris Pinero. And make sure you follow @Ron_Musto_Jr. and @LindsayBeHonestX and follow the whole network at @TT_4U. Thank you so much, and we will see you soon.